our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Since we have three baptisms after this message, I thought it fit to preach on this familiar passage where the Lord sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch and made him hear the truth. Immediately, this eunuch desired to confess Christ, confess his faith in Christ and believer's baptism. Now, having obtained eternal redemption for all his people, having fully accomplished that which God the Father sent him to accomplish, fully redeeming his people, God the Father raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand and gave him all power over all things. He put all things under his feet and gave him the power and the glory of calling out those he redeemed and giving them faith in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the church. The scripture says, God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the one, just as he's the one who fulfilled the law, he's the one who fills the pew and fills the pulpit and fills the heart of his child with faith and fills this baptismal pool with those confessing him. He is the one who fills all. Christ did. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Christ provides his pastors. The glory of sending the gospel to each of his redeemed and bringing us to faith in Christ is Christ's glory. This is his glory. Isaiah 53 says, "The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand." And we read in 1 Corinthians 1, it pleased God. There's the pleasure of the Lord. One of the things that pleases the Lord, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand. I've titled this Christ's Power. And I want to show you three things about Christ's power involved in bringing one of his redeemed to faith in Christ. First of all, by Christ's power, Christ equips and sends his preacher. Christ is the one who equips and sends his preacher. We read here in verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." Now this will be good for our preachers here. Before Christ sends his preacher, before he sends his preacher, Christ makes him know that all power is Christ's and not the preacher. All power is Christ and not the preacher. Philip experienced this first whenever Christ came to him, sought him out, and commanded him to follow me. And that word came with such power, Scripture says Philip followed him. He left everything and followed Christ just with that word of Christ saying, follow me. That's power. Now, the way we receive mercy from God is going to determine how we preach the gospel. Listen to this. Paul said, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. How'd you receive mercy? How'd I receive mercy? How'd Paul receive mercy? By the effectual power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how you receive mercy, that's going to determine the means you use to call sinners. Paul said, as we receive mercy, we faint not. It's by that same power that called us that makes us not to faint. He said, by that power, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Why did he do that? Because he knew we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You get what I'm saying? If a man wasn't called by this power, he'll use other means. He'll try to use other means because he don't know anything about the power of God. But if Christ called you by this power, you'll use the gospel because you know Christ is the power. And then Philip learned two more lessons when Christ fed the multitude. Go over to John 6 and look at this. This is how Christ equipped Philip to send him for this day to the eunuch. John 6, verse 5, we're told here, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And look at the next word. And this he said to prove him, to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's teaching Philip something here. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Peter said, who's sufficient for this? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? How can these foolish things feed so many? And by this, Christ taught Philip this twofold lesson. He taught him not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He saw that day when Christ fed that multitude that his sufficiency is of God. And he learned this too. By using those foolish means, just a few fishes and a few loaves, he learned God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound our wisdom so that no flesh glories in his presence. So this was two more things Philip was taught by Christ to equip him, to send him forth. On another occasion, go to John 14. Some men came to Philip and they said, we would see Jesus. But Philip didn't go to Christ. He went to Nathanael instead. Why did he do that? Well, there were some enemies that wanted to kill Christ and wanted to kill anybody associated with Christ. And Philip didn't want to see Christ die, and he didn't want to die himself. So he didn't know what to do, so he went to Nathanael to figure out what to do. And Christ taught him something that day. In John chapter 12, in verse 25, Christ taught him this, he that loveth his life shall lose it. You try to save your own life, you're going to lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where was Christ going? To the cross. He was going to lay down his life. Christ said, if any man's going to serve me, he's going to have to lay down his life. And he said, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, on another occasion, now this is John 14. Go there, John 14. Peter made a statement, a foolish statement, like we all do a lot of the time. And Christ taught him another lesson. John 14, verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. This is the lesson he's teaching Philip. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now here's the lesson. Very important. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What's he talking about? As the Father dwelt in Christ. So that Christ spoke the words the Father gave him to speak. That believer who trusts Christ, That preacher who trusts Christ, Christ dwells in him and sends him forth so that he preaches only what Christ would have him to preach. And then look at this. Here's the next thing. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater than all the physical miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ worked when he walked this earth, greater than all those physical miracles, through his preacher preaching the gospel, Christ works the miracle of regeneration and faith in the hearts of those he calls. So you see what he learned here? Just as the Father was in Christ and Christ was in the Father, Christ is in his people and his people in Christ. And that preacher he sends forth does the works Christ did. Christ spoke only the word the Father gave him to speak. And his preacher speaks only the word Christ gives him to speak. And he does greater works than those physical miracles Christ did through the preaching of the gospel. Through his preacher, Christ works the miracle of grace, regeneration, and faith in the heart of his child. So Philip is learning this. And these lessons is what the Lord's going to teach those that he's going to use before he sends his preacher. This is how we're made to use only the means of the gospel. Preaching the gospel. We don't have ball teams and we don't have divide up into every kind of division you can think of, and classes for divorcees and classes for this and that one and the other one. We preach the gospel of Christ to everybody. And so back in Acts 8 now, having been taught these things, when the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Look at the end of that verse. He arose and went. He arose and went. He didn't question. He arose and went. Now that's what we think we've got, those lessons. But Christ will not send us forth till we have them, till he's taught us effectually and made us learn these lessons. All right, secondly, by Christ's power, he sends his gospel directly to his lost sheep. And he prepares his sheep to receive it. By Christ's power, he's going to send this gospel directly to each and every one of his lost sheep. Every one of them. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's going to bring every one of them to believe on Christ. And he's going to do it by sending the gospel to them. And he's going to make them receive the gospel he sends. He says here in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, now here's the point of this whole passage. How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, you're familiar with the old road that the new road bypassed. When we were coming back from North Carolina, we wanted to avoid traffic in Washington, so we took the old road. And this was the old road that the new interstate bypassed. We saw those old court motels all grown up and dilapidated because all the business now is going down the interstate instead of going down those old roads. Well, there were two roads to Gaza. There were two different roads that went to Gaza. The new road went straight west to Gaza. It was the interstate. It was the shortcut. It went straight to Gaza. That was the new road. But the old road went way south of Jerusalem and then turned west and went to Gaza. And that's the road the Lord sent Philip down. He sent him directly down that old road, way down there south of Jerusalem, before he would ever turn west and head to Gaza. God makes His preacher take the old paths. Scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Our gospel is as old as God. There's nothing new, nothing contemporary about God. He said, "I am God, I change not. I change not." And so this gospel doesn't change. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the message we preach does not change. That ought to tell us something when you see religion having to continually change in order to please people. That's what the world does. That's why they come out with a new model car every so often, so you'll go spend your money and buy you a new car. Because you got the old model, you want the new model. Well, that's what religion's doing. That's a trick religion's using. The old paths, we just preach Christ and Him crucified. This is the message to which God has saved His people from the very beginning. And this is the old path. There's no shortcuts with God. God didn't bring Israel out of Egypt and take them straight into the wilderness. He brought them out and made them circle and go around this way and that way and the other way 40 years before He took them in. There's no shortcuts with God. No shortcuts. But by His power, Christ moves His messenger, and He moves His lost sheep, and He makes the gospel to cross the path of His lost sheep at the exact time that Christ would have it, at the exact place Christ would have it. And His time is always the best. We see this throughout the Scripture. Since the Lord came and has ascended to His throne and is working this glory now, we've seen this throughout the Scripture. The Philippian jailer. There's this man in a jail working. How's God going to get the gospel to him? He causes Paul to be arrested and thrown in that jail, and Paul preaches the gospel to him, and the Lord saved him. We see it with Lydia. Paul wanted to go somewhere else and preach. The Spirit forbade him. Wouldn't let him go. The Spirit turned him and sent him right to where Lydia was, and he preached the gospel, and God opened her heart, gave her faith. We even see this with those in Caesar's household. That's right. The Lord arrested Paul and gave him an armed guard escort all the way to Rome. Carried him with an armed guard at the expense of Rome so that Paul wouldn't be injured. Carried him all the way to Rome. Put him in his own hired house so that Paul could receive visitors. And Scripture says in some of Caesar's own household, were called by God and believed Christ. You see that? Christ can get the gospel to His people wherever they are. Today, Brother Greg is confessing Christ in believer's baptism. You think of the roundabout way the Lord brought you. Think of that. Greg was, he was in religion, and the Lord began to teach him Christ is our Sabbath. Not a law, not a day. Christ is our rest. That's what the Sabbath day pictured. And Greg began to think, who else knows this truth? Who else believes this truth? And he remembered years ago meeting Don Fortner. And he called Brother Don, and Don said, there's a church not far from you. And so he came over. And here he is, sitting under the gospel, confessing Christ in believer's baptism. Jeff and Joyce. I preached for Jeff and Joyce for a year and a half in Pennsylvania. And when I left, I never expected, they didn't expect it either, that one day they'd be sitting here and I'd be preaching the gospel to them, let alone that they'd be confessing Christ. I never expected that. The Lord works in mysterious ways. But you needed that roundabout way God brought you. And it's His right time, and He always brings us out of the gospel when it's His time. If you're sitting here today hearing the gospel preached, thank God, this is not by accident that you're sitting here today. This is what Christ works. I'm telling you, this is what Christ works. He brings His people under the sound of the gospel. And at the same time, the Lord was preparing this Ethiopian to receive Philip. It says there, this eunuch had traveled a very great distance to Jerusalem to worship. But God didn't use those teachers. He used Philip. He sent Philip to him. There he was. He traveled all the way from Africa, all the way to Jerusalem, and was going back, and he hadn't heard anything spiritually in truth. And he's out here in the middle of the desert where you least likely expect to hear the gospel, and here comes God's preacher preaching the gospel to him. Thank God. And he gave that eunuch a teachable spirit. The scripture says, Philip said, "Understand thou what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he desired for Philip to come up in his chariot. This man is a ruler under Candace the queen. He's the head of the treasury. He's not traveling by himself. This man has an entourage with him. He's probably got more people with him than you see the president travel with. And he, in front of all these people, he asked Philip to come up and teach him what the book said. That's God working in a man's heart to give him a teachable spirit. And thank God he gives this teachable heart to his child, so he makes us close our mouth and he makes us listen to the gospel, and God answers all our questions through the preaching of the gospel. Thirdly, by Christ's power, he makes his preacher preach him. By Christ's power, he makes his preacher preach only him. It says there in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. Isaiah 53, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached Christ to him. That's what you find everywhere God calls out one of his people. They preach Christ to him. Philip turned over there to Isaiah 53 and he said, this was Christ. In obedience to his Father, he allowed them to lead him as a sheep to the slaughter. He allowed them to do that. And so he opened not his mouth. This is Christ who in his humiliation had all his judgment taken away. Arraigned before Pilate in his kangaroo court. They brought forth false witnesses against him. They beat him. They blasphemed him. They reproached him. They spit upon him. But don't make any mistake. Christ was in full control. He's God. He was in full control. And what he was doing was manifesting that unlike these men, the righteous judge of all the earth always judges right. That's what Christ was manifesting on the cross. He came there to manifest the righteousness of God. To show by his death, by bearing the sin of his people, that God is just, his law satisfied. And God is the justifier. That means he's the one who fulfilled the law for his people in Christ. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgression. That's substitution. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. You're not healed the day that God gives you faith and you come to believe on Christ. All God's elect were healed back there when Christ was bruised for our sins. That's right. With his stripes we're healed. That's the difference between putting it in the sinner's hand and saying, you make Christ's blood effectual, and saying, no, Christ made his blood effectual. He healed us with his stripes. It was not Christ who had sinned. We, like sheep, went every man after his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, of all his elect. The Lord made him bear our sin. And the scripture says, it satisfied God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord. What does that mean? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That's what it means. It satisfied God. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Everybody Christ died for on that cross, He justified. So, judgment cannot be poured out on them a second time. They've already been justified before the law of God. Judgment can't be poured out on them a second time. And therefore, Christ sends each one this gospel. We're dead, spiritually dead, lost, unable to believe, unwilling to believe. But just like God did for this unit, Christ sends us this gospel, sends us His preacher with His gospel, and He makes our heart, gives us a new heart, and makes us receive this gospel. And that's how He saves His people. You notice, and I want you to be sure to get this. Be sure to get this. Christ only gives faith through the preaching of the truth of the gospel. That's the only way. Christ didn't work this work through those idol teachers down in Ethiopia. There was a bunch of false teachers down in Ethiopia worshiping idols. He didn't use one of them. Even when this man went up to Jerusalem, the Lord didn't use the fundamentalist Pharisee. And the Lord didn't use the liberal Sadducee because they were preaching lies and they were lost. He didn't use them. Christ fulfilled this prophecy right here. Doesn't Scripture say He has to fulfill all prophecy? He said, I came to fulfill all prophecy. And this is His prophecy. This is one of His prophecies right here. Christ must fulfill. He said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors after my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. True knowledge and true understanding. Now, it's impossible to believe on Christ in truth if you've not been taught the truth of Christ. That's just impossible, brethren. And we're taught that truth by Christ. That's right. And Christ doesn't use lies. Listen to this. Now, Romans 10:14 says, How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Now listen to this. Ephesians 4:20 says, you've learned Christ, if so be that you've heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How are you going to believe till you hear Christ teach you effectually in your heart? And how's He going to do it? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, when the Lord gave that scripture in Isaiah 52, that's where Paul's quoting from, when he said, how beautiful are the feet of them. When Christ gave that scripture in Isaiah 52, He said, how beautiful are the feet of Him. Because right before it, He said, my people shall know in that day, they'll hear my voice and they'll know it's I that speak. That's what, you see, it's not the preacher that makes this word effectual. It's Christ preaching through His preacher. And He makes us to hear this word and makes us to know, I'm hearing the truth of the gospel. Now, knowing that it's Christ who preaches to us the truth of the gospel, let me ask you this. Would Christ die to shed His blood for His elect, for His particular people, then send and teach the message that He died for all men? Would He lay down His life for His elect, for the particular people God gave Him, but then send a preacher to preach that He died for all men without exception? That wouldn't be understanding and knowledge. Christ was made a curse for His people that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. Would He then send a preacher to declare, but now you must keep the law? Would He? No. He saves in truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Christ said when He's come, He'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak of Himself, Christ said. What I give Him, that's what He'll speak. And He'll bear witness of me, Christ said. How are we born again? How are we regenerated? Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. With the Word of truth. God purposed from eternity that we would believe, be sanctified by the Spirit, and come to a belief of the truth. Isn't that right? There's no entrance into heaven without truth, because God said nothing shall enter in that defiles or makes a lie. Nothing. Nothing. You know what the difference between God's people and the reprobate is? God's people believe the truth. Christ said, because they would not receive the love of the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. But God's people believe the truth by His grace. Christ saves through the truth. So through truth, Christ called this eunuch. It says, Acts 8:36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. I like that, don't you? I picture Philip went out there and he meets this eunuch right at the right time that Christ would have him meet him. He climbs up in his chariot and they start rolling. And as they're driving along, Philip's preaching the gospel to him. And God gives him faith to believe right when they come to water. Talk about timing now. And gives him faith to believe right when they come to this certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Sinner, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What's that mean, preacher? It means you believe He's all the righteousness of God. It means you believe He's your only righteousness. He's your only acceptance with God. You don't add anything. There's nothing that Scripture says you must add. And the truth is, you must not add anything. Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call those that can add something to my work. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. That's right. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only righteousness before God? If Christ works this work in your heart, then you'll do what this eunuch did. It says, verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This eunuch repented because God changed his mind. He believed because Christ gave him faith to believe that Christ was all his righteousness. He confessed Christ with his mouth. He said, I believe. I believe. And he followed Christ in believers' baptism. That's what Christ has done for these three believers that are going to be baptized. And that's why they've requested to confess Christ in believers' baptism. I pray God do that for one of His lost sheep here today. And bless this word to your hearing. You see, the difference in the truth and a lie, Christ gets all the glory. All of it. All of it. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray now that You'd bless it to the hearts of Your people. Speak in power, Lord, and make us truly hear and believe. Make us see Christ as real as when He stood here on this earth. And make us behold Him as the only righteousness You'll receive. Make us bow and confess faith in Him. Lord, don't let Your people ever stop seeing Him. Don't let us ever stop hearing His voice. Don't let us ever stop bowing and confessing Him. And now, Lord, be with these believers as they confess You in baptism and keep them, Lord, as they go forth and teach them by Your Word. We thank You for them and we thank You for Your grace to them. We thank You for Christ, our righteousness. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen. All right, brethren, you can be seated.